biggest regret is losing the family. That's the reality.
And sometimes that you have problems at the start, and money, when you get money, it amplifies it, and then the cracks start to show. And when you started that business, or you started that, you know, path that you went on, it just amplified it and it just fell to pieces.
Welcome back to the Safi Bros podcast. We are here again with Maryam Al-Houli. So you say, so subhanAllah, just listening to your story so far is that you were falling into a lot of potholes.
Yeah, and lived in them.
Yeah, and you live, and that's the thing is, and I think we have a lot of brothers and sisters that, like, you know, you meet them and they think that they're going to get to the success in business without falling in potholes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And they've never tasted the failures. No. You know, they lost, losing 300,000, losing that last, the first 2,000 you had, a log. But you know what I mean? People don't understand that you're going to face losing everything one day.
Yeah. And I always say business is not for everyone, because you have to be a strategic gambler at heart. Yeah. It's not for you if you need to see the $700 or whatever the Australian minimum now is per week in your bank account, and you need to do a 6-year upfront plan of what you're going to spend every dollar. The business is not for you.
Yeah.
People need to understand that the potholes never end. Yeah. It's the bigger you get, the bigger the pothole.
I mean, that's right.
And the cash flow issues, you guys are, you know, business in a bigger version. When you have a cash flow crisis, it's not only can someone lend me $50 because I need to pay an hour worth of work for someone. I need $200,000 now. Where do we get it from?
Exactly.
That's where the problems, when I first started Eve's, the skincare, we'll talk about that in detail, but just like, you know, when I first started and I needed ads, I'd call my brother or my mum. I need, the threshold for Facebook then for us was like $200. Because, you know, they build up trust,
right,
and then they give you more.
That's right.
And I'd call my mum, I say, I need it now. My ads are stopped. But now it's like, okay, we need $50,000, $100,000. And I look back and I say, oh, God, help those days when I just needed $50. It solved my problems.
SubhanAllah.
So, yeah.
Every business that you started, was your hubby on the same page, or did you bring him along, or was it together?
Generally, yes. Oh, it was just little things. The dress shop was the biggest money loss we had. We had a dress shop in Brunswick, Sydney Road, Brunswick.
What was it called?
It was called the Evening Gown.
Evening Gown.
A lot of people still tell me to this day, can you please reopen? I'm said, nah, that's a chapter I think I've closed now. I unfortunately lost, I think it was over $300,000 in that shop.
Wow.
The wrong decisions, trusting, didn't know marketing properly. I didn't know marketing at all. I didn't even know it existed. I just relied on foot traffic.
So that was your biggest business you've opened?
No, that was the biggest loss. In that time frame. We've lost more with other things. But in that, I'm talking about 2015-16, we got scammed a little bit as well. I had bought a big amount of products from a designer we'd worked for years. And then when we opened a month later, this was unsellable stuff. I had to give them to the Salvation Army.
Wow.
You couldn't sell it. And then before COVID hit, and everything, it was one thing after the other, one thing. It sold a lot of dresses, but there was no marketing. There was no understanding how a real business ran. How do you grow? It was just
amazing. Can I ask, through these journeys that you've made mistakes and fell into potholes, did you reach out to anybody? Obviously now you're mentoring and you're supporting. Did you ever reach out to anybody and ask for
help?
Did you have a mentor?
Not until we'll talk about Eve's. That's where I really started to, that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors. Later on when Eve started to work and when I had more ambitions, I reached out to a mentor that.
But before then, no.
I never knew they existed. Wow. I remember, I don't come from a socioeconomic background that has anything to do with business or anyone that. Now, the biggest advice my mum gave me, the wrong advice, but this is another generational poverty, as I call it. So when we got married and we started making money, my mum's best advice was save all your money and buy a house in Lebanon, which we did. The lands in Australia were dirt cheap. I'm telling you, 20 years ago, I could have, with the amount of, so we bought a house in Lebanon then that was worth, I think, $100,000.
USD, yeah.
It converted 20 years ago to Australian. What can I have bought here? I could have bought in Hoppers Crossing, Werribee, a farm probably.
Yeah.
Why would I buy a house that I'm never going to live into, that I'm probably never going to visit, to do what with?
Yeah.
Why didn't anyone tell me, if you can't afford to buy in where you're living, look out 5 minutes across your window and buy there? Like, okay, we don't want interest, why do I need to buy? And then we bought a shop. Like, why do I need to invest in a country that I'm never going to go to, probably live there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm living here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brothers and sisters that do that, that make that mistake. Yeah, 100%.
I'm telling you. A lot of so my mistakes. Mentor was my mum, but didn't know anything about business.
How many sold and went back and tried to attempt and came back with nothing?
Yeah, 100%.
Allahu Akbar.
So this is don't take advice from a person that's never left home. Yeah, let's say about traveling, about anything in the world, really.
We say that in our business. My mum, because we had a shortfall about a 50,000 or 80 grand, we asked mum and she had a heart attack. She absolutely said, impossible. How dare you put me in that situation?
I'm not going to take that risk for you.
And she was the only one that didn't support us when we first opened Burgies. And I say this open, we said this, but she's the only one that eats for free.
You can't do anything about that.
You know what I mean? So like you said, taking the right advice from the right people, even your loved ones, they might not have the expertise.
No, they mean well. She was so 100%. We don't waste our money. She meant so, and her money. The world's, you know, no one wants better for you in your life than your mother.
100%.
You can't, no one, no wife, no child, no one's going to love you more than your own mother. She wants you to be better than her.
100%.
But that's all she knew. That was her dream. So the dream for her was to own something probably back in the days. Mm. And she lived it through us.
Yeah.
And that was all she knew. Wow. And every time I pass these farms, I say to her, like, why? Why couldn't you just said go look 5 minutes away? Like I was 18, 19. I didn't know better. SubhanAllah. So, yes, it's all nasib. You only get what you're given. But look, see the power of information is so critical. Yeah, so going back to when I closed that shop down, I had decided 300, take a loss. Sometimes in life you need to take a loss and just admit defeat and then recoup and start again. So we closed it down and just before COVID hit, I had this sweet, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this door opened from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not a makeup or skincare person, but I don't know why those last couple of months I've got sensitive skin. I was looking for something that I can use maybe sell some to friends and family. I always need to have a bit of money. I can't just, you know, all my life I've tried to make ends meet. I can't just sit at home and do nothing. So anyway, I found, you know, ingredients and searched and looked and what's good for organic ingredients. Muhammad, I had $169 in my bank. Wow. My husband goes to me, rightly so, he goes to me, no more adventures, no more businesses. We're in $300,000 debt.
You've killed us.
So what, you were dead then?
$300,000.
So you lost money you didn't have?
No.
Allahu Akbar. Wow. So you didn't lose something you had, you lost.
No, no.
And now you're in debt.
101, never do that in your life. Never ever go into debt to open anything because if things go south, you're left with it. No, I was in debt, but I had $169 in the bank. And I said, I found a clay mask that I used it, I loved it, it worked. And I said, you know what, I was telling my husband, I found a clay mask that I think, you know, if I can sell a bit to friends and family, I can make, you know, a couple of $100 or get the kids shopping, whatever they wanted. And my husband goes to me, I'm out. No more ideas. We don't have a cent. We're in debt.
So you removed the partner, alhamdulillah.
Well, I'm by myself. And I said to myself, I go to my mum, Mum, I found this product. And she goes to me, you want to sell skincare? They're going to leave David Jones and Maya and come and buy a clay mask from you. Now she's 100% that her daughter's gone. That's it, rogue. Like she's more than Khashakshi. Like she goes, no, not even no support. Like what are you thinking? And I need labels. So I have no money for labels. You know, Afterpay. I think one day I should get a, I always say this story. Where are you, Afterpay, if you're listening? I opened the business from behind your back. So I had the Afterpay account and my, I still use them to this day. The label company called Long Story Short offered Afterpay. Which is you can buy 10 labels and you don't have to pay anything up front. They take it the next fortnight, which was good because I'd get paid the next fortnight.
Oh, wow.
So I bought 10 clay mask labels and I stack them onto the bottles. So I have 10, that's it, 10 products with 10 labels and force sell them to my sisters and my friend. You have to buy. I need support. And it was good. It worked. So they actually liked the product. They bought them. Now I had money and I bought 20. Literally, wow. That's how I started.
Reinvested.
Yeah. No one's touching this profit that I made from the $169. Like I was adamant. I never thought of an e-com. I didn't even know what it was. But this was just a home thing that I was going to start putting money towards. Wow. And it just grew and grew. And then someone told me, why don't you open a website? And I'm like, to do what? And they said, you know, there's something called e-com. You can sell them online, send it by the post. So I did that. I opened that little website I don't know. I'm a book person. I don't even know how to put a story on Instagram. Like I'd go to people and say, where's the plus button that you put this story? Like, how do you use this? I'm not a tech person. So I taught myself. I went to people and they taught me how do you put a story up? How do you do things?
Wow.
And then Black Friday had come. I'd learned that you can do some ads, and Black Friday for that for us was enormous. But before that, I knew that someone needed to help me out with marketing. And this is when I say, when Allah has a door to open, no one can close for me. I'm a nobody. I have no money. I need marketing. So what I decided to do is I researched the Daily Mail editor on Facebook. I found her profile and I just DM'd her. I'm going to show you after this. I still got the messages. I think it was 12:30 at night. And I told her my whole life story to this random person with pictures, because all my stuff was in the lounge room, was in the bedrooms. I've got no stock. My house was my stock room.
Wow.
And I said to her, I'd love if you can run a page for us about Eve's Skin. I called it Eve's Skin by then, so you can help us out. And I thought, who sends you – if someone sends you a random DM on Facebook in the middle of the night asking for a free serve, are you going to really reply back? If you've seen it, you'll delete it. Anyway, the next day in the morning, I saw a reply from her. Wallahi, literally, I fell out of bed. Not by just saying, I fell out of bed. And she goes to me, I sent it to my editor-in-chief and he loves it. They're going to run it for free.
Allah.
Daily Mail. Half a page with the Daily Mail is like 10 grand.
Wow, more back in those days.
Like, they ran it for free. I could not believe, and this is Allah's work, not me, not I'm smart, I'm nothing. Allah was going to help
me. What made you try? What made you do that?
Because when you're always at level zero, you're not scared of going. I've lived in zero all my life. The pothole is my best friend. I'm so used to the pothole, living in it, that when I come back to it, I'm like, hello, old friend.
I just can't get any worse.
You can't.
I climbed out of the hole and then I'm back.
So when you just see level and then you're back, you're so normal. What is there to lose?
SubhanAllah.
Nothing. The worst is I get ghosted or she says no. I haven't paid anything. It's fine. So when she ran that, it went everywhere. We had $20,000, I think, sales in like 27 hours or something.
Allah.
That day, that Black Friday, I remember I got all my sisters to come pack orders, everyone to come help at home, send things and try and have a little system. And when they ran that, I was with my mum at a play center and I can hear the people talking. They didn't know I was there, talking about the article. Because by then I hadn't told anyone that I owned Eve's Skin.
Oh, wow.
So people would purchase off us that lived down the road, but I'd still send it by post.
Wow.
I didn't say a word to anyone.
Why?
Because I didn't know if this is going to work. I've opened so many things up before. Our community, I knew the backlash I was going to probably get. Oh, my God. She's closed up a dress shop and now she's into skincare. Like, it was just going to be – there was no need. I didn't want to – all I wanted was to make a living for my family. I was never interested in being – who cares who am I? I'm selling you a product. You like it. I don't care if the devil's selling it to you. Why do you care? But I heard them that day and I said to mom, listen. And I can hear them. And then I turned around and said, hello. So to their shock, I can hear them talking about me while I'm sitting there.
Oh, wow.
That's a community we have. And then from there we had an investor. And this is what I always – I want to put 100 lines under this. Don't ever judge on what people show you or tell you up front, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook or anywhere, because there's a lot of hands behind the scenes that no one tells you about. Eve's Skin could have never gone where it is today had not an investor after the article approached me and pumped into it $400,000.
Wow. Allahu Akbar. Muslim?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pumped into it and said, I believe in the brand. I trust the vision. Would you take me on it as a... let's open this company into shares, yada, yada, yada. Let's do this. I've got the money. Let's grow this bigger. So,
did you know him personally?
No.
No.
Vaguely, but no. I hadn't seen him in probably like 15 years or something. No.
And he just
approached you?
Approached you?
Yeah.
How did he approach you?
Through my brother-in-law.
Wow.
We know them like in the community. My brother-in-law said, look.
And you knew nothing about setting up companies, shares?
Brother, selling $100 to me was like, I had a dress shop we sold, you know, our designer in was a couple of thousand, but our profit margins were not, you know, in business, people think that if you sold a million, that's pocket million. It's not. No, and I had nothing. Wow. I was just doing this on tawakkul. I don't know anything about marketing. I don't know. I've had so many failed businesses. I can be a PhD in failure, like nothing. And I always tell people just... I can tell a different story. I don't have to say I had an investor. I can say, it was all me. No, it wasn't. Inshallah. There's no I in a team.
I mean.
No I.
So what kind of share did you give him?
50%.
Wow.
50%. 50%.
Big shot.
And but I stayed, I retained, I don't think I've ever told anyone this, I've retained CEO of it because I have the vision for it. I gave him 50% of the shares. It was worth nothing. When he approached, yes, we've sold a lot, but it was, what's it worth?
Mm-hmm. At that time, how much have you sold?
I don't know, $60,000, $70,000. Like the whole thing, we were nothing. We're nowhere.
Just one product?
No, we had three by then.
Three products.
The branding was crap. I wanted silver. I don't know why I chose silver. Like we've rebranded. Like it was just a little girl opening. Well, I was 20 something, but just, it was just a, like. A,
so that money was just to be dumped into the company to grow it.
Yeah.
Not for your payment, nothing.
I had a section for me to have him come in and buy like a.
Was he actually working in the business with you or no? Just
no. I had to start a little bit of help, but no, not really. No. Oh, but wow. We got the right people. We hired the right people, the right advertising agency, branding consults. We became a proper and then the international media coverage started, and that's when I made a decision that my face needs to go now onto this, and that's when I was forced really, if I wanted to grow, I had to be in the name of the company for interviews.
How long was that growth?
I skipped a step. COVID came before this guy approached me. COVID nearly, I was going to throw him out. COVID came. I forgot this important bit.
You were open before COVID?
Just 2 months before COVID.
The Black Saturday?
July, yeah, August had come, COVID hit. No, everyone was bashing each other over toilet paper in Victoria. No one suddenly wanted to buy a clay mask.
Wow.
The focus shifted. And here I have probably a couple of $1,000s worth of stock. I have no money. We're back to the pit hole. Wow. What am I going to do? And then I fell into depression like no tomorrow. I think all my childhood traumas, adult traumas, everything came out in COVID. Locked up with the five kids at home. Yeah, I could see no way out. This was going to be the end of me. I wanted to, every time I'd hit a box as I was walking, I just want to kick it. I have these boxes at home, got no money. This is before the government started, helping people in COVID. But at the start, like, what am I going to do now? Like,
nothing. Why don't you just give up?
No. I'm already given up. I'm zero. You keep telling me, where am I going? When you're at zero, where do you want to go? Like dig a hole.
You can't get in lower.
You can't.
Just give her a shovel.
I tell my mom, let's go to Faulkner and wait. Like where am I going to go? This is my comfort zone of zero. I don't know how to get out of zero. I've always been trying to get out of zero, but I'm always there. It loves me so much, it pulls me back down. But then I thought to myself, and then I read, and COVID, I think it either broke people or made people.
Yeah, wallah.
Wallah, there was no third thing. For me, it just rewired my life. I sought psychological help because my mum's theory was, more salah, you're imagining this, nothing's wrong with you, no iman, the what our parents tell us.
The ABC.
Malbusi, Mashura, Ayn,
Sahar. That'll book your hand because you've got a house in Lebanon.
Yeah. Had one. But we had to go. And I said to my mum, no. If I don't seek psychological help, I'm not going to be out. COVID's going to end. I'm not going to be here. Wallahi. Wow. It's in such a. I think the shaitan gets you to the point that makes you see blackness. There is no way out.
I want to touch on this. And this is such a.
It is. I know we're laughing, but it's such a serious
matter. Such a serious matter that. Wallahi, I cannot say this more than I can, because we as Muslims need to seek psychological help. Absolutely. Because we are losing so many of our brothers and sisters.
We are.
Where would you have been if you didn't get the psychology?
Committed suicide. Very close to that, thinking of that path.
Yeah. So this is the reality, is that we do not have that understanding in our brain saying, just try it.
There's nothing wrong with talking
to somebody. Just try it. Talk to somebody, And wallahi, I tell my brothers and sisters, especially Muslims, and we have this phobia of understanding mental health. And subhanAllah, if you look at the history of our scholars, they spoke about mental health and happiness. But Rasulullah Sallam spoke about mental health, It's so, so important for you to have a healthy brain, And if you don't seek help, wallahi, if you are watching and you are in that pothole. Wallahi, there's no better advice that I can give or we can give to our brothers.
You know how many ladies in our community, I'm not going to talk about men because this is a trend in ladies, are on sedatives, are on painkillers, are addicted to it, are dying from it.
Huge.
That no one in our community talks about because of the shame.
Wallahi.
Had we just held their hand and told them go seek help at day one, we wouldn't be at day 30 now having addiction problems. So many people I know personally that are on a cocktail of things because they're depressed and they're dying from youth, our women and their mothers. And from the outside, they look all right. But from the inside, it's all falling apart.
Nobody hides being well.
No.
They all hide being unwell.
Absolutely.
And this is what we do. And I guarantee you, you would have done it yourself. You would have hidden it from everybody.
Absolutely.
You want to hide it. So you live this fake life that you are well. You know, and subhanAllah, how many brothers and sisters we see in the community
that are there. You can't say you're not okay. Because it's not like cancer. It's not your hair's falling out. It's not visible to anyone.
It's not.
So that means either you're making it up or you want attention or something's wrong in you. So no one says anything then.
Wallahi.
That this is the truth.
What do you believe took you there?
One day it was in COVID. I looked at the train tracks and I said, you know, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe just life's too awful. Mm-hmm. I'm just sick of this. The pothole, I'm never going to get
it's
out
too
of
dark
it.
In
too dark. And I have, alhamdulillah, a lot of iman and I pray and everything. Yes, I do. But it was just a blink second of, you know what, just what for, man? The world's better. Allah will forgive me in the akhirah. Allah is the most, He knows my heart. That little split. And then I said to myself, no. This is not going to.
So that was your rock bottom.
Wow.
Yeah, that was. And then I think, as I said, And the shaitan, you know, he wants to build these emotions. I started remembering everything that happened to me as a child, the good, the bad, even the minute things that you wouldn't really even, who cares? You know, everyone happens, something happens to them. But it just got amplified and amplified to me. I remember I spent 7 days, I just had water. I stopped eating. It was just so bad. And I booked an appointment and I remember going to the doctor's office the first time and just cried. I paid money just to sit and cry. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything much. But then I started getting better as I went second time, third time, subhanAllah. It was just, I think talking to in a private setting where I knew, you know, everything was going to stay there and I can see an outside perspective and you know what, it wasn't that bad then. Then I started to think back to business. Okay, all right, now I'm mentally in a better place. How are we going to solve this problem? And I learned the first rule of business. You solve a problem, people then buy your product. I was selling the product. I wasn't selling the problem.
Yeah.
And the problem in COVID was people were getting acne from masks and my product solved it. So we just it was just changing the words of advertising.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's all. It took me such a long time.
What solution are you providing to the market? That's the truth of marketing.
That's it.
What is the solution?
The solution we know then we were providing was the acne that you got from your mask 24/7, the dry skin that you had from not even going outside from sunshine, we solved that problem for you. And we're for sensitive skin, we're handmade and we're organic. So we just ticked all the boxes. That was a new marketing avenue for us.
Lord.
We started to boom. We were in the right, you know, headspace. Mm. It's all in your head. It's all marketing, just words. So subhanAllah, and that took off. And then with COVID, I also realized I had other aspirations. Like I had written the book years ago when I was in the shop just writing it, The Olive Tree, just to pass some time. But again, anytime I told anyone, they'll just say, hello, you're going to come write books. Well. Who's going to read?
Who's going to read your stuff?
All right, you've done a literature degree that's just for show and, you know, let's hang it somewhere. But, you know, you're going to write as well? Like you can't be normal. My mom always tells me, why can't you be normal? You can't be normal, Mariam. That's the most thing I get. Like why?
What is normal?
But that's who defines normal? Like, yeah. And then in COVID, I made the decision, you know what? Wallahi, I'm going to live life on my own terms. Whether people like it, whether they don't like it, whether they agree or not. End of the day, when I'm in my own little jura in the grave, no one's going to be with me to help me. No one's going to take my good deeds or bad deeds away. It's just me alone. So from then I decided that this book was going to be read by the entire world and I published it.
Lord,
and when that went, and when I published that book, subhanAllah, I was told again by numerous people, and we shared this off before and I told you, they said, if you take off your scarf, you can go places.
Wow.
Told by someone that was big in the media. And I said, no, you watch with my scarf. I will go say, I don't need to take off my identity and my beliefs to go anywhere. Why?
It's amazing.
What's the book about? I've never read it.
Yeah, that's all right. I wrote it about war, about Palestine. I wrote it based on Palestine before it was trending, because this is a trend now, the topic of the hashtags. And this is like 3 years ago when I wrote it. And it's been out for two, so 5 years ago, because I wanted a place that had the most conflict in the world, the longest, Palestine.
Wow.
And it's about a you know, imaginary city in Palestine where two girls, one's Jewish and one's Muslim, their neighbors and their friends, and about their own lives, what happens to them, wow, surrounded in a country that's controlled by men in suits that are segregated, bigotry, they take bribery.
Oh, wow.
It's not about sides. It's about the children pay the ultimate price in any war. That's the truth.
Wow. Nice.
That's the truth.
No, mashallah, mashallah. And this is now, mashallah, this got published in Turkish.
We translated it now in Turkish. Next is Arabic, inshallah. And then we're looking into Spanish because we've got a lot of.
How many books have you sold?
Oh, a lot of books. I don't know. A lot of books.
So you got to publish. You got to publish
already. Oh, yeah. Published, and it's all in bookstores around the world. You can buy amazing. Them from Amazon and all other bookstores. But now Turkish. I'm actually going back in October for a proper launch of the book. But yeah, it's available in Turkish now. And
amazing.
To get the message out.
Allah berik fik. Was that your first highlight that you got? Like where you got. So can you take us to the first time you were somehow recognized? And you were elevated within, like, you know. Now, where was the first time? Because undoubtedly, like, what motivates human beings is recognition, you know. Recognition something is sometimes that, you know, wow, okay, I can do more.
No, I've got imposter syndrome, like all ethnics. It's embedded into us. That's the truth.
So
it didn't, no, I think recently in London, I think that's when, if we're going to, everything I've ever done, because I've got imposter syndrome, because it feels like, you haven't done anything, maybe because I don't have the support of the family and to say, well, you know, well done. It's always monetary value to them. So you've done money. This. How much money has it gotten you now? Don't tell me in – we joke about it with my sister. When I'm telling her about a new project, my second sister, Emin, I'm the closest with, and she tells me, oh, it's amazing. So how much money did you make now from it? Don't tell me tomorrow. Don't tell me what they're going to pay. Don't tell me what you're going to sell now.
I want to know the balance of your bank account.
Now. And in live terms – not when Westpac updates it now. They want to know now. So maybe because of that, because everything to them is close family to me and friends, maybe they're not at a level where you need to work on things and money's a byproduct. I don't get that. So I never felt really probably validated and always thought maybe I don't deserve what I'm doing. And always I haven't done enough because I believe that all of these stuff haven't led me to where I want to go. But to answer your question, in London, when I just literally a couple of weeks ago came back and when I was, I think there was 350 women. I think I was the only scarfed woman, but I think there was one other Muslim or two other Muslim women there. To win, and it was towards the end of the night, I gave up of, you know, I was there for 6 awards. I'm like, you know, everyone's huge in their fields. I've got millionaires, multimillionaires, huge company CEOs. Wow. Here I am. I'm the youngest. I'm 35. They're in the mid-50s, late 40s. No one's even similar to my age. And I'm like, scarfed. And, you know, Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess, was presenting.
I don't know.
You know, and I'm like, I don't think they're going to, you know, who are they going to give me? Nothing. So it was the end of the night and I had taken off my shoes under the table. I hate heels. And I'm tired. It's 10 o'clock. And it was the second last award for Emerging Women Changing the Year. And they called out my name.
Love.
And I looked at the lady sitting next to me. And then like they're waiting for me to get up. I'm like, but I knew to win that, I haven't done anything. Like I felt not impossible, but I felt so proud. Got up without the shoes. I didn't see I had no shoes under it. Just grabbed it. And you had a speech. And I just looked up. And what am I going to say? I was still in shock. And I said, well, I give this award to everyone that ever doubted me. I'll post it on Instagram. You can have a good look and zoom it in for you. See you later.
Oh, wow.
That's all I said. I didn't have anything prepared. And then I sat back and I said, you know what? If I wasn't deserving, I don't think – Maybe I do deserve it. And I felt proud that with my scarf on, with my scarf on, to get an award, you know, and then the London Post did a big story on it. And all I could think of, subhanAllah, was, you know what, I could have maybe listened to that guy years ago that told me, but I feel so proud that I'm a Muslim woman and they can see it. I don't tell anyone anything. A lot of people tell me, oh, so do you try and preach your religion? I say, no, I don't. The way I conduct myself, and they can see I'm a scarved woman represents me. I don't need to say anything. So that was my proudest moment, I think.
Wow.
In all of these years.
Amazing.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Alf Mabruk.
And how's your brands going? Like, so I know you got mashallah multiple things now.
Alhamdulillah. Good. Look, it's always a struggle. As you know, when you're growing, people think that when you grow, you make more money. It's actually not.
Yeah.
When you grow, you actually own less of the company, or the right way to grow is. and you make less money because you have to really dial down to be able to grow. So now we're in Turkey. We've got plans for Africa. I'm talking about Eves here and all the other stuff.
How many products do you have?
I think we've got 11 products now.
Inshallah. Are they all made locally? Or you
Australian made, yes. All Australian made. The Turkey stuff's going to be produced in Turkey for logistics reasons because we found ourselves we're shipping internationally. We're paying more for the shipping than the product. So it just doesn't make sense.
The labour costs are expensive in Australia, aren't they, as well?
They are. But in Australia, because you're locally and you still have a small profit margin in e-com, but when we produce and manufacture in Turkey for the Europe market, it's really cheap. It's so much better for us.
Yeah, 100%.
From a business.
Because labour's cheap there too compared to here.
Absolutely. So they're doing well. It's going to take a couple of years to see the effects of them probably as we build. But yeah, I always tell people, don't think this is a get-rich-quick scheme. It doesn't
How
work like that.
How many years now has been?
Four.
Four, mashallah.
We're still a young company and we're branching out. So it's still a lot of mistakes, the mistakes are not, as I said, $50. Each mistake we make costs us thousands of dollars.
Guys, I don't know if she's looking for investors. Are you looking for investors?
Currently.
We've got one already.
Not currently.
So what are the brands that you're currently running? So I know like you've got
Eves. We've got Mika, me and my sister. We're rebranding the entire thing. That's a mineral makeup brand. So that complements really skincare. So we've got big plans for that coming up as well, inshallah. It's a lovely little brand. We're into supplements now, inshallah launching soon, a supplement brand that's going to be, inshallah.
And then you got your books that
I've written The Olive Tree, which we're going to make into a film. We're just pre-casting. The trailer will be out soon.
Amazing.
That's going to be a very big,
budget.
Not only big budget, it's going to be a big test to see. Because we're in untrained, big waters that no Muslim woman has really dared to step into. I don't know how that's going to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Help me and try and my intentions align with what I always say. I hope my intentions are always stay true to them because in a world of business and money, it's so easy to get sidetracked.
Mm.
And then if the ego comes in, you're dead. You're gone.
Subhanallah. And what then? I know there's another book about business that you've written.
Yeah, no, I'm writing now halfway through Souls of the Devil. So I write fiction with a purpose. Fiction that makes you think at the end of it.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what religion you are. As a human, I'm sick of watching rubbish.
Mm.
There has to be something that we can watch, that our kids can watch, that is not sexualized, it's not politically driven. It talks about humanity and our problems. We just talked about mental health in our communities. Mm. How many people address that?
100%.
We have so much problems hidden and embedded in our communities. No one talks about.
Amen.
We need to start talking.
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik. And that'll be, look, I can say like, mashallah, because just, for the podcast, I had to do a bit of research on you, like all the stuff, mashallah, you're doing and like getting those awards, mashallah, it's amazing to see an amazing sister who's also has five kids. You know what I mean, guys? She's got five kids and she's doing all this.
That's a full-time job.
And I think we fail to understand the gravity of the hardships, And
it's very hard.
So for somebody to be in that pothole, you know what I mean? And to be able to get to where you are, alhamdulillah, and mashallah, it was amazing. And subhanAllah, we just met just a couple of weeks ago and we were both presenting at the same place and suddenly... Now we heard your story and we thought, wow, mashallah, this needs to be highlighted a lot more. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlight you more and use you for his purpose. And inshallah, we can motivate and inspire our brothers and sisters to do business. Because I tell my brothers and sisters all the time, there's nothing more beautiful than business because it's undoubtedly the capacity to have reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a true reliance. You have tawakkul, hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. And then that's what really puts us in Rasulullah's sunnah.
You know, one thing listening to your story, mashallah, you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sharpening that knife. And inshallah, greater, better things, inshallah, to come. But I want to ask you a personal question, if you don't mind. If Dad was around, do you think he'd be proud?
I think he would be. He always used to tell me, you're a 15-year-old, but in a 30-year-old mind. And he always used to tell everyone, like, my daughter's very smart. Like, he's take me, because he had no boys till later on that lived with us. So I think he'd
You're
be
the translator.
Yeah, the community translator, not only the form filler, whatever you wanted. So I think he'd be, proud. I hope so. I make a lot of dua for him. And
can you send him a message then, please? Give us a message, Allah. Send him a message now.
I tell him, I wish you were here. I don't want to be emotional. I wish you were here to see all the grandkids, to watch my younger sister's wedding.
No.
We always talk about you a lot. I'm getting emotional. But,
Allah irhamu, ya Rabbi.
Yeah, Allah irhamu. And I hope that I can one day be an advocate for mental health. Like I said, I think he died misunderstood.
Alhamdulillah.
And yeah,
well, you are doing it right now, alhamdulillah. Inshallah. I think and we went to sort of, subhanAllah, I wasn't meant to be having the discussion, but the discussion was open, and I think such an important thing. And
it is.
And I think maybe we'll have that as a cutout as well, inshallah, maybe, you know. So,
absolutely. Very important. Mental health is so important to us. And as Muslims, it doesn't make us less of a good human or a Muslim to admit, you know what, sometimes we all need help. The stresses of life is so big on everyone.
Can I ask that the inner circle around you?
Yeah.
You know, when we are going through these kind of situations, what advice would you give to some families that are going towards, it's brushed off, you haven't got any man, just, pray. What advice would you give that family to give that person that might be going through something that they're not well educated in relation to how to treat it? Going through that pothole, being there.
Well, I'm going to tell them two things. One thing from a religious side, al-mu'min al-qawi ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. Allah doesn't like a weak Muslim. And weakness, I don't mean in deen, weakness in everything. Mental health weakens your body. It weakens your perspective. It weakens your outlook. If you want from religious people that argue with you for religion, because some people just live to argue with you for the sake of argument. They just don't. They have no absolute purpose. And I mean, we said this, remember, at the last event, our community doesn't read. It doesn't understand the religion. It doesn't understand cult. It understands nothing. All we have is a lovely mouth, and we just want to blurt out words. We have no idea what we're saying. To the family that they've got someone struggling, you don't have to understand what they're going through. Just because in your eyes it's not valid, or that's a silly emotion, or it means nothing, that person may be on the verge of suicide. That person may be on the verge of starting to take the toxic cocktail pills that they can never get off. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either say something good or keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
If you cannot give good words and advice and hold their hands and drag them, and if you have to drag your loved ones, your child, your son, your auntie, whoever it is, to a psychologist by force sometimes, keep your mouth shut. Don't make things worse.
Amen.
Good advice.
Allah bless you, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amen.
And bless this gathering and inshallah, all our brothers and sisters who are watching. We're not going to do the end of the podcast on the my am statement because you already gave it. Can you repeat it again? What was it?
So I always say I'm a lost soul navigating the ocean depths. I haven't found, people say, oh, your purpose. No. I don't think ever. If you said you found yourself and you found everything in life, you're on the decline.
Amen.
That's the start of the decline.
So my saying is, may Allah oxygenate you while you're in the
air. Amen, ya Rabbi.
May Allah send you that oxygen even though you're underwater.
I'm drowning. Not the depth, but I'm drowning in those depths.
May He send you a hose full of oxygen that you can breathe through, inshallah.
Maybe a last piece of advice. It's never too late to restart your life again.
Amen.
Wallahi, this is the biggest advice I can give women, men, anyone, the youth that approach me. You could have had the worst childhood. You could have been had the worst parents. You could have lived in poverty all your life. But we are so lucky in this country, or especially in the West, that you can go back to school, you can start from scratch, and you can build your life and open up a new chapter.
Amen.
So important.
100%.
Have hope.
The reset button is always available.
Every single day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you breath, there's a chance to change.
Amen. Both reset in this dunya and in the akhirah.
And the akhirah, no one's perfect.
Amen, amen. Allah bless you. Thank you for that beautiful advice. So, alhamdulillah, we would like to thank you for being
thank
on the podcast.
So
and of course, undoubtedly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our audience. And again, we'd love to remind you to please subscribe so you don't miss out. And we'd love some commentary on this, comment about the mental health aspects. If you have brothers and sisters that are dealing with this kind of stuff, ask questions. Please, please share with others who will benefit. Inshallah, this is the aim. The aim of this podcast is to be a benefit, inshallah. And please, please, please give us a rating on audio platform. Jazakumullah khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.